Hello, everyone, and welcome back to On with John. So it has been a minute since I've made a new episode. It's been since November 8th, to be exact. So first, let's just start with some catching up. So I was not intending on taking such a long break from making an episode. Life just kind of got busy. The last episode I made, like I said, was November 8th. It was either the day of or the day after we found out that President Joe Biden had won the election. And it was an episode with my friend Ryan Hawley, and we discussed the election. So you can go back and listen to that if you'd like to. But then life just got kind of crazy for me, and I really didn't intend to take such a long break. But, here we are months later. So first, let me just catch you all up on what's been happening with me. So in December, I went on a little vacation. And yes, I know we were still in the pandemic. We are still in the pandemic. So just know that it was a safe vacation. It was just me and one very close friend. It was just the two of us. We went to Bar Harbor, Maine, and we had a really good time. There wasn't much open, because Bar Harbor, Maine is kind of a summer tourist spot, and we were there in the middle of winter. But my birthday is in December, so I usually take a vacation from work in December, and I did this past year also. And so it was the two of us. We went to Maine, we stayed in a hotel. Truly, we were in Maine for about a week, I think. And truly, the whole time there, we only saw two other guests. So, like I said, Bar Harbor is a very touristy spot for the summer, but I'm convinced that there were only two other people staying in this hotel when my friend and I were there, which is great because I am someone who has been very cautious with COVID. I have followed all of the rules and precautions the entire time. I still am. I have young siblings. I have one sibling who is not old enough to be vaccinated yet. So I am still careful. I'm careful for him, and I'm careful for all of the other kids who can't be vaccinated, or for anyone who can't get the vaccine for whatever reason. But that brings me to another life update, I guess you could say. It's a life update that many of us share, I'm sure. But the last time I made an episode, I was not vaccinated because we didn't have a vaccine yet for COVID. But now I can happily say I am fully vaccinated. I've been fully vaccinated since April of this year, 2021. I got the Pfizer vaccine. Lucky for me, I did not get any symptoms from the vaccine, the first dose or the second. I mean, after the first shot, I had a little headache. But I'm someone who gets headaches frequently, so that was nothing new for me. I can't say for sure if it was from the vaccine or it was just another one of my headaches. But I just had a little headache, and that was it. And no symptoms after the second shot. And I know that other people have had different experiences with that. I know some people got very sick after their second shot. Some people got very sick after both shots, and that's fine. It's different for everybody. But I was lucky. I didn't have symptoms after either shot. So I am happily fully vaccinated. I do encourage anyone listening to get the vaccine if you're able to. Like I already mentioned, I know not everyone can get it, but if you can and you are willing to, I encourage it. I think it will be the easiest way out of this pandemic. I know there is a lot of vaccine hesitancy among many different groups of people, and believe me, I get it. It's a healthy dose of fear, I think, to put something in your body that you're unsure of, that is not FDA approved yet. But from what I've been reading and hearing from doctors and news stations, is that the vaccine might be FDA approved by the end of this month, August 2021, which would be fantastic because I think if that were to happen, there would be a major surge in people getting the vaccine. But I do understand people's fears. I was nervous to get it. I really was. Okay, so I was having some technical difficulties. Sorry about that. My computer decided to stop recording me mid-sentence. So if you hear a weird jump cut from my last sentence to this portion of the podcast, that's why. But what I was talking about was vaccine hesitancy and people's fears over the vaccine. And what I was saying was, I am vaccinated, but that doesn't mean I wasn't afraid to get it. I was. And I feel like there's this idea that everyone who got vaccinated and everyone who is getting vaccinated is, some people are calling us, sheep, and we'll just do anything the government wants, and we don't think for ourselves. And that's not true. That's really not true. I was also afraid to get the vaccine. I will admit that. I did my research. I did as much research as I could at the time that the vaccine became available to me. And I decided for me and for my family and for the people I love that it was the right choice. I didn't do it because the government told me to. I didn't do it because President Biden said it was a good idea. I was ready to take the vaccine even if it came out under a Trump presidency. I think the vaccine will get us out of this pandemic, and it is for the greater good of the country and for the world, because we have to remember this is a world pandemic. And just because the United States is doing a little bit better, and that's honestly debatable right now with the Delta variant, but even though the United States is in a better spot than we were a year ago, the world still has catching up to do, and it's not going to happen if we all don't hop on board as Americans and as just citizens of this country and fellow human beings of this planet. So I just want to make it clear that my decision to get the vaccine wasn't just me blindly following political leaders. I did my research and it was what felt right for me, and I still would have gotten the vaccine if it came out under a Trump administration if he were to win re-election. So I just want to make that clear. I don't want this to come off as a political thing. I just think for the health and safety of the country, for the children, for our teachers, for our nurses, for our policemen, for our garbage men, for our mailmen, get the vaccine if you can. I think it's a good idea. That's what I'm saying. So, another thing that has been keeping me busy, and another reason I haven't made a new episode in so long is, as I've mentioned in the past, I am in grad school. I'm in grad school for broadcast journalism and media production, but I actually graduate this Saturday coming up, August 13th or 14th. I don't know the date, but it's this Saturday coming up. I think it's the 14th. And so grad school just really took off after my last episode. I made my episode in November. I went on a trip in December, and then from January till now, grad school just has been go, go, go. But it's great because in a few days I'm going to have a master's degree, which, as someone who I'm the first person in my family to even go to college, which that in itself was such an accomplishment for me, and it's something I'm very proud of. I think education is very important, and it's definitely something that motivates me every day. So for me, as someone who is the first person in my family to go to college, I'm only the second generation of my family to be born in the United States. My family's from Portugal. For me to go to school and get a master's degree is really just, it means so much more to me than the piece of paper it is, just because of my background and where I come from and the history of my family. It's just something I'm very proud of. So by the end of this week, I'll have a master's degree, and I'm super proud of that. And another thing that has been keeping me busy, in addition to grad school and my full-time job, is I was also doing an internship at WSHU Public Radio in Fairfield, Connecticut. That just ended at the end of July. So that ended at the end of July. School is ending this month. So things are starting to wrap up, and that's why I have time to make new episodes of this podcast again, which I really have missed doing. I've been talking to all my friends about it. Some of my friends want to come on this podcast. The friend that I went to Maine with, he he's mentioned that he might be interested in doing a podcast with me. So that is something that could be in the works. Us, he and I, doing a podcast together. Maybe he'll join this one. We'll see. But my internship at WSHU, that was a great experience. I was there for about 3-4 months, and I learned so much about working in a newsroom, about using professional equipment, recording in a studio. It really was a great experience, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to work there. I made some great connections also that I think will be important to have. So there is one, well, actually, there are two serious stories that I want to talk about before I get to some fun entertainment type stuff. And the first one, it's been months since it happened, so I'm just going to go over it quickly, just because it's something I would have talked about had I had time to make an episode about it. And that is the insurrection at the Capitol that happened on January 6th, 2021. Like I said, it was months ago now. We are moving forward. It's being investigated. And I think what needs to be done will be done in time. I think the full truth will come out in time. But I'm just waiting for it to be investigated and for all of the information to be looked at and to see what is decided. And I think the outcome will, I think it'll be hopefully, and I am hopeful that the outcome will be just and fair. But all I want to say on that quickly is obviously it was a terrible day for democracy. It was a terrible day for America, and it will be something in the history books, of course. You know, it's something that our children and our grandchildren will have to learn about now. And I'm kind of lucky in a way that I didn't have time to make a podcast when it happened, because my initial response was very emotional, like most people's. Which is fine. That is completely fair and justified. But I think it's better that I've had some time and there's been some space between then and now for me to talk about it. Because, obviously, you cannot blame all Trump supporters for what happened at the Capitol. Not all Trump supporters were there. Not all Trump supporters supported what happened. I know personally Trump supporters who have spoken out against what happened. They did not like it. They know it was wrong. So I just want to get that out of the way, that clearly it was not all Trump supporters. And that is something that debate was very heavy in the beginning, where a lot of fingers were being pointed at all Trump supporters, which I don't think pointing fingers at a group of people all together is ever fair. So, I understand and I agree that we can't label all Trump supporters as insurrectionists and as homegrown terrorists. That being said, the Trump supporters who did attack the Capitol are insurrectionists. And they are terrorists. And maybe that is a strong statement, but it's true. You cannot attack the United States Capitol and expect to just get away with it. The specific group of Trump supporters who attacked the United States Capitol deserve to pay for the crimes they committed, because what they did was criminal. And I would be saying that if they were Democrats, if it were Black Lives Matter protesters. But the truth of the matter is, in terms of the insurrection at the Capitol, is that it was not Black Lives Matter supporters who attacked the Capitol. It was not Antifa who attacked the Capitol. It was a small group of Trump supporters who attacked the Capitol. And I'll say it again, just to be clear. Not all Trump supporters are responsible for what happened. Not all of them can be grouped in with the group of people who attacked the Capitol. But the group of people who did attack the Capitol deserve to pay, and they are disgusting human beings for what they did. You do not attack the United States democracy. We had so many politicians and so many powerful people and leaders in the United States Capitol when they attacked it. Our vice president, Mike Pence, was in that Capitol when they attacked it, and they wanted to hang him. They were shouting, "Hang Mike Pence." That's not okay. That's not going to fly ever, no matter what side it's coming from. You do not go and try to kill the vice president of the United States. That's absurd. I'm sorry, it's absurd. And just to be clear, this is also not a Republican thing, because clearly Mike Pence is a Republican. There were many Republicans in there. I'm not putting this on Republicans either. It is that group of people who did what they did that have to pay for what they did. It's disgusting, and it was dangerous. And it has put us in a situation now where some people think that behavior is okay and will be tolerated. But you know what? It will not. It will not be tolerated. Because that's not how we do things in the United States of America. And that's what I'll say on that. The other more recent, very recent political story that I want to talk about a little bit is the resignation of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, who will be taking over as governor for him. So yesterday, August 10th, yesterday, August 10th, sometime in the afternoon, Governor Cuomo of New York announced his resignation over the 11-plus sexual harassment allegations against him, which will result in Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul of New York taking over for him. He said he will resign in 2 weeks. And that was yesterday. So he has 13 days left as governor, and then Governor Hochul will take over in 13 days. And I just wanted to say on that, that Governor Cuomo should have resigned as soon as, let me not say that. As soon as Letitia James went on TV and said to the American public that their investigation found that there were 11 credible claims of sexual harassment against Andrew Cuomo, that's when he should have resigned. As soon as that report was released by Letitia James, he should have stepped down. So I am very... I was going to say happy, but happy isn't the right word. I am satisfied with his decision to step down, but I think it should have been sooner. Because if nothing else, I'm consistent. And if you are a sexual predator, a sexual harasser, a rapist, a molester, you don't belong in positions of power. And honestly, depending on what you did exactly, you might not deserve to even be a free man. You know, because I will say that there's a scale of sexual harassment, and it's all bad. All sexual harassment is bad. But there is a scale. You know, the things Andrew Cuomo is accused of are not the same as what Harvey Weinstein did. But they're all bad. They are all bad, and none of these men deserve to be in positions of power, and people like Harvey Weinstein don't deserve to be working at all. He belongs behind bars for the rest of his life. So I am satisfied Andrew Cuomo is stepping down, but he should have done it sooner. And because he did step down, or because he will be stepping down, New York will be getting its first female governor. So we are truly living in a time for the history books. And again, whether you agree politically with these people or not, whenever I talk about the historic impact, I'm not talking about it in terms of political ideology. I'm just talking about the historic impact this has and how this will be in the history books, like Vice President Kamala Harris being the first female vice president. You know, whether you agree with her or not, she will forever be the first. And that is historic and stands on its own. I'd say the same if it was Sarah Palin, you know? She would have been the first, and that is historic. So in this case, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, she will be the first female governor of New York, and that's exciting. You know, whether you agree with her politics and policies or not, it's historic. And I just watched a press conference she did, and I thought that she gave a very strong press conference. And I have a quote. It's not a quote fully in the order of how she said it, but these are bits and pieces of a quote that she gave in her press conference. And I think it was a very strong press conference. And again, whether you agree with policies or not, I think she has the strength and leadership skills and the passion to lead New York. So here is the beginning of the quote. "No one who is named as doing anything unethical in the report will remain in my administration." Next chunk of quote. "There will be turnover." Next chunk of quote. The governor and I have not been close, physically or otherwise." Next chunk of quote. "At the end of my term, whenever it ends, no one will ever describe my administration as a toxic work environment." End quote. So this woman came out the day after Andrew Cuomo decides he's going to step down and gave a strong stance, not only on her expertise, not only on how she will lead, but also a clear stance against Andrew Cuomo, which took some guts for her because he still is the governor for the next 13 days. So I applaud her for that. And like I said, her becoming the first female governor of New York is, it is historic. So we'll see how it goes. But every time, every time a sexual predator, sexual harasser, rapist, etc., every time one of them goes down, it's a good day. And on that note, I'm going to take a quick break, and then I will come back with some entertainment stuff. I'll talk a little bit about Kathy Griffin. I'll talk about The Bachelor, or The Bachelorette, to be specific. And I'll give a little bit of a view update and talk about season 25 and Meghan McCain's departure and all of that fun stuff. So stick around and I'll be right back. Welcome back. So let's get into some topics in the world of entertainment. And the first one is actually a sad one. Kathy Griffin announced she has lung cancer. And I'm pretty sure she has had surgery to remove whatever needed to be removed from her body. And I think she's recovering. So I think the prognosis is a good one. But don't quote me on that. I'm not completely sure. But it was very sad to hear that, because someone like, whenever a celebrity, especially a young celebrity, announces something like that, it's always shocking and it's always sad and you just never expect it. It's like when Joan Rivers died, and I know she wasn't young, but she was young for her age, and I thought she was going to be around for so many years to come, and I love Joan Rivers. So, you know, when she died, that was very sad. And so to hear Kathy Griffin announced that was sad. To hear her talk about her drug addiction, that was sad. Kathy Griffin has, again, I know she's a controversial person, but whether you agree with her or not, or like what she says or not, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who don't like what she says, when someone announces they have cancer, it's rough. And it's like when Rush Limbaugh announced he had cancer. He's a controversial, polarizing voice on the right. And when he announced it, it was sad. Because whenever someone announces they have something that could kill them, and it did in Rush Limbaugh's case, it's sad. And people forget about humanity, and they forget about common human experience and basic decency. And so, whether you agree with people like Rush Limbaugh and Kathy Griffin or not, to wish them death when they have cancer is kind of disgusting. And that leads me into my discussion about The View. I like to give View updates because The View is one of my favorite shows, and I love talking about it from an entertainment perspective. And when they were discussing it on The View, Meghan McCain took that opportunity to bash Kathy Griffin so hard, saying that she never liked Kathy Griffin and never will because of the way Kathy Griffin made jokes about Clay Aiken and then Clay Aiken and Clay Aiken's sexuality. But then Clay Aiken, a few hours later, was on Twitter expressing his condolences to Kathy about her cancer diagnosis. So I don't know what Meghan was trying to do with that, but it was not a hot take. It really wasn't. I think she thinks it was a hot take, and I think she thinks she was being, you know, badass Meghan like she usually likes to be, but that was not it, Meghan. It was not. But thankfully, Meghan is leaving The View. So, fun View update for anyone else who watches the show. I'm sure you already know this, but then for anyone who doesn't watch the show, Meghan McCain announced in July that she'd be leaving the show at the end of this season, season 24, and would not be back for season 25. And honestly, I'm super excited about it. Not because she's a conservative. The View needs a conservative. Honestly, I'm someone who believes The View needs two conservatives just to balance out the panel. But Meghan McCain is not the one, because she has had very reasonable and very smart takes on issues. She really has. But her delivery and the way she carries herself and presents herself and the way she speaks to guests on the show and the other hosts of the show, I just think is disgusting. And I think if her father, John McCain, were to see her acting that way, I don't think he would be as big a fan as she thinks he would be. She's rude. And that's really it. She's rude. She's a rude person. She didn't get to where she is based on her own hard work or qualifications, despite what she goes on that show and says. She got everything she has because of John McCain. And John McCain is a war hero. John McCain is a stand-up guy and was a great man who ran for president, was a senator for the United States, for anyone who might not know who he is. He is an accomplished man. He is a respectable man. And I respect and appreciate his service to this country. His daughter, Meghan McCain, is a political talking head who has no qualifications to be talking on TV. She really doesn't. So I am very glad to see her go. The View does not need her. And they will find another conservative to fill that seat, hopefully one who knows how to have a respectful conversation and maybe even speak in a way that encourages the other co-hosts to listen and maybe even change their minds. Because that's what some of the best conversations are, when people with different views can get each other to think and have a nice in-depth conversation about issues. And then even if you don't come out of it agreeing, at least you had a nice talk. And that's something that hasn't been happening on The View while Meghan's been there. There are a few people who I think could take her spot. There are some that I want to take her spot. I know this is not a popular opinion, but I would love to see Elizabeth Hasselbeck come back. She was the OG conservative for 10 years on the show, and I thought she did a great job. I thought she did a great job of expressing her views without being rude to anyone, without judging anyone. And she really did have good chemistry with the other co-hosts. She was never mean to them. Like, of course, she got into debates with Whoopi and Joy all of the time. That's what the show is. Debates are fine. Rude personal attacks are not. And that's the level Meghan McCain is at. You know, she loves a good personal attack, but can't handle it when it's thrown her way. That's not how life works. That's not how The View works. I think it'd be nice to see Elizabeth come back. I'd love to see Jedediah Beulah come back. I don't think she was given a fair shot on the show. She did a really good job of explaining conservative principles and conservative views without it being combative and rude. So I'd love to see Jedediah come back. And I think it'd be great if Jedediah and Elizabeth both came back, because then you would have a more balanced panel. And those are two women who really gel nicely with the current panel. I know that would be six hosts. Someone else would have to go. I'm really in no place to say who, because I love the rest of the ladies. I love Whoopi. I love Joy. I love Sunny. I love Sarah. But I also love Elizabeth and Jedediah. So maybe six co-hosts for season 25. It's a historic season. Let's do a historic panel. And fun fact, I've actually had the opportunity to meet Sarah and Sunny. And they were both so lovely to me. They were both very nice women, truly. So I can't even wish for them to not be on the show. And that's one of those things where, like, even if you disagree with people, once you meet them in person or once you have a conversation with them, it's hard to dislike them. And I'm not saying I disliked Sarah or Sunny. I didn't. I already did like them. But then once you meet them in person, it's really hard to dislike them. They're just so nice, both of them. Sunny, I met her at a book signing. She was doing a book signing for Summer on the Bluffs. And we were talking about how, you know, she has a degree in journalism. I was talking to her about how I'm getting my degree in journalism. And she actually, like, she wrote me a cute little note in the book about she hopes my, something like good luck on the journalism front. Love Sunny, something like that. And it was just so sweet. She didn't have to do that. And Sarah, I met her when she was hosting GMA Day, when that was a show. And again, it was just some small talk, but she was so nice. She was very nice. She took pictures. So I love Sarah, love Sunny. Whoopi and Joy are living legends. Again, whether you agree with them or not, those ladies have earned their spot at that table. And I'd love to see Jedediah and Elizabeth come back. Those are my thoughts for season 25. I also would love to see all of the hosts come back to the show like they did for Barbara Walters last season, just to see a big reunion of all the hosts of the show. That's so exciting for true fans of The View. It really is. To get all 20, 21 or so of those women on the stage together, that would be iconic. So if it happens, you heard it here first. And then last thing I want to talk about, you know what? The reason I am stuttering is because I was going to talk about The Bachelor. And I don't usually watch The Bachelor. It's not something I'm a huge fan of, but I did get, I became invested in this season. Okay, you know what? I guess I'm going to talk about it. I got invested in this season of The Bachelor because two of my best friends were watching it. And so just in case you have not seen the finale, I actually haven't seen the finale yet either, but Facebook spoiled it for me. I was scrolling through my news feed on Facebook and they just right there had the name of who Katie picked as the winner. So I don't want to spoil it for anyone else, like Facebook spoiled it for me. So if you haven't seen the finale, you should stop listening to this podcast now because I'm going to spoil it. Okay? Great. So Katie ends up picking Blake. She chooses Blake. It comes down to Blake and, honestly, I don't remember the other guy's name, but I thought it was going to come down to Blake and Greg, but Katie and Greg, anyone who's been watching this season obviously know that Katie and Greg had a blow-up fight. Well, I guess one of the biggest blow-up fights in Bachelor Nation history. I don't know that. I've only seen maybe three seasons of this show altogether. But apparently this was a huge fight. And Greg was accusing Katie of not loving him enough, and Katie has accused Greg of gaslighting her. And I just think it's this whole thing that's been blown out of proportion. I really do. I know we're in a time and in an era of, you know, let's cancel people, let's hop on the train and let's hop on the bandwagon and just cancel these people. And let's throw all these terms at them, like, oh, you're gaslighting, and oh, you're a narcissist. And I just think we all need to take a breath, because what I saw was two people who loved each other, who really did have a true fight, and they were both hurt by it. I don't think Greg was trying to gaslight Katie. I don't think he was acting. I don't think Katie was being a bitch to Greg. Like, I don't think any of that. I think they are two people who had a fight that many people have in relationships, and theirs just happened to be on TV. And I feel like, and just to be clear, I still haven't watched the finale. I just know who Katie picked because Facebook ruined it for me. So I don't know what happened during the after the final rose ceremony. I don't know the interaction that took place between Katie and Greg, because I know he was there. I don't know what's happening with Katie and Blake now. I don't know any of that, just to be completely upfront. But just based on knowing how it ended and knowing how Greg's exit went, I don't think it's fair to try to cancel Greg now. And I also don't think Katie's at fault. I think they were both equally hurt. And it just is I think it's an unfair and sad situation for both of them all around. But I don't think Greg was trying to gaslight her. I think Greg, in that moment, truly felt like he lost the love of his life after he laid everything on the table. And I think Katie lost the love of her life when Greg walked away and just wasn't open to hearing her. And so I think Katie was a bit at fault for not giving Greg more, a little bit more, because it's true that when he laid his heart on the line, all she did was look at him. She didn't say anything. And I know that's how The Bachelor works. I know that she can't say, you know, yes, I'm picking you. You're the man I'm picking. Don't worry about it. I understand she can't say that. But I just feel like she could have given a little bit more of an indication of the fact that she loved him. And on Greg's end, I feel like he absolutely could have been more open to hearing her and not walking away, because walking away never solves problems. And he just really let the anger get to him. And that was not smart, and it was not nice to watch. But I think they're both at fault, and I think they were both hurt. So I don't think it's fair to try to cancel either of them, and I don't think it's fair to put all of the blame on either of them. I know there are a lot of hardcore fans of the show who are all the way Team Katie, and some who are all the way Team Greg. And that's just not how life works, and that's not how human relationships work. They're both to blame. They're both at fault. They both took part in the fight. They both took part in the love, and it just didn't work out. That's life. That's love. That's relationships. That is relationships gone wrong. That's a learning experience. That's a growing experience. That's a character developing experience. The only difference is this one happened on TV, and it happened on TV in a time where it's popular to cancel people and pick sides. But like I said earlier on in this podcast, if nothing else, I'm consistent. I am consistent. And I'm not going to throw all of the blame at one person. And I'm not going to completely pick one side, because it's a more complicated issue than that, like most things in life. But this is all the time I have to get into this complicated issue on this episode. So thank you all for listening. Thank you to anyone who has stuck around after all of these months of no new episodes. I apologize for taking so long to get a new one out and for taking an unannounced leave of absence, I guess. I'm going to try to get back into the swing of posting episodes more frequently again, maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, something like that. But as always, thank you for listening.